Please turn in your Bibles then to Luke chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This Christmas season, we're going to be doing a series of four sermons on What Child Is This?, taken from Luke 2, 11 through 12. There's four titles for Jesus here. He is Christ, He's the Lord, He is the God-man, and He's the Savior. Luke 2, 11 through 12. Reading from God's holy word. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word of truth. We pray now the Spirit of truth would convict us of this truth. Apply it to our lives. May we live the truth and point to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The unbeliever today believes that he's the captain, he's the Lord of his fate. He believes he's the ruler, the determiner of his personal affairs. He believes that God is a figment of imagination, or that if he exists, he's unknowable, he's uninvolved in human affairs. They believe that somebody who relies on religion, that it's just a crutch for the weak. There's nothing miraculous or supernatural that exists or has ever occurred. They use the term Lord in a human sense. It only is a term of respect and esteem given to someone in a position of leadership and authority. Buddhists do not believe in a Lord God or a sovereign God or gods. Some Buddhists believe in a spirit world with gods in the heavens, but the gods are not supreme. Their hero is the man Buddha, the awakened, fully enlightened one, and they strive to follow him. Liberals in the professing church today do not believe in the supernatural, the miracle, miraculous, that Jesus was the divine Son of God. They redefined the Greek term kurios, or Lord, to be merely master, as a man in leadership with followers, disciples, or like a man with servants. They believe that Jesus was not deity. He's not a sovereign master. He's merely a tragic human figure who died on a cross and left teachings worthy of knowing and an example to follow. Buddhists and liberals do not believe in a God who is sovereign creator. Why? Because the term designates authorship, and from that we get authority. Friends, the Christmas story gives us a far different account of who the manger child is. The danger for people like us who have the scriptures is that familiarity can breed contempt. Did you know that the average American household has four Bibles, but sadly they're collecting dust in most of them? It's as if the average church grower today feels that absence makes the heart grow fonder. The reality is anti-intellectualism reigns and ignorance is deemed bliss. The mantra is, give me Jesus, that's all our need, that's all I need. And our response is, which Jesus, and how do you define need? Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse at the end times, many false Christs, false messiahs will come and deceive many. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, the demons and the devil, they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness to deceive many. John Owen has defined revelation as disclosing immediate informative communication from God that reveals things that otherwise would not be made known. An example of that is Matthew 16 on that road to Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. The truth is, unless God chose to make his revelation known to the Bethlehem shepherds in the field that first Christmas night as to who Jesus is and where to find him, they would never have known Jesus, gone to the manger, and worshipped him and lived to make him known. Luke 2:15 and 17. The same holds true for us. If you are honestly seeking to know what child is this in the manger at Bethlehem this Christmas season, you must realize, as Augustine said, God does not expect us to submit our faith to him without reason, but the very limits of our reason make faith a necessity. You will need Holy Spirit illumination, Holy Spirit understanding to understand the spiritual truths of the Christmas story. Ephesians 1:17 and 18. 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And if you do not have the Spirit of God, you are not his. Romans 8:9. So pray for the Holy Spirit working in you. Also, you will need to realize that the Spirit never works apart from the Word of God. You must assert a belief that the Bible is the holy Word of God. Romans 1:2. Psalm 119, 160, the Word of God is truth in its entirety. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie, and that the Word of God is the imparted Word which is able to save your soul. James 1:21, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Friends, the 18th century Enlightenment was what changed the public's perception of the Bible as God's Word to that of mere human opinion, with the human as Lord over it. If you are not willing to submit to the Holy Spirit's illumination and put yourself under sola scriptura, that Scripture is God's Word and it's able to bind your conscience, then you will not believe in Jesus, and your search into what child is this is meaningless, just as the Pharisees in their desire to believe in Jesus. But if you are sincere before God and you realize that God alone knows your heart, then you can participate in our Christmas series on what child is this. And God will manifest himself to you. He will certify his truth to you. He will give you the gift of faith in Jesus and by his grace lead you to the manger. And like the Bethlehem shepherds, you'll be able to marvel, worship, and leave with a desire to make Jesus Christ known. Please follow along in the bulletin today as we look at the title, What Child Is This? The first point is, what is the historical and biblical definition of Lord? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Did you know in the first century there were three usages of the word Lord? There's a polite usage, there is a master usage, and an imperial usage. The polite usage we see when Jesus talked to the woman of Samaria, Jacob's well, in John chapter 4, 1 to 42. She looked at Jesus and three times she called him sir. You and I would say mister. The master usage is used in context of a teacher with disciples and also of an aristocrat that had slaves. The slave owner was called the kurios, or the lord, and the slave, the doulos. And thirdly, there's the imperial usage. That's used politically for a king, an absolute sovereign. His word is law, it's the final word, and it's to be obeyed implicitly, or punishment will result. In 250 BC, when the Hebrew Old Testament scriptures was translated from Koine Common Greek by 70 Hebrew scholars meeting in Alexandria, Egypt, the result was called a Septuagint. And when they came to Exodus 3:14, God said, I am who I am, Yahweh, that's the Tetragrammaton, YHWH. The vowels were not added till the 8th century, where we get Yahweh or Jehovah. When they came to that name of God, which is over 6,800 times in Scripture, it's the ineffable name. It's the inexpressible name. And they treat it so sacred that they did not even write it as Yahweh. What they did was they translated it as Adonai. Adon is Lord, and the AI ending is the emphatic form and the superlative form. So Adonai means Lord of Lords. God is Lord of Lords. It's used only of Him, exclusively of God. Adonai deems Yahweh supreme, none above Him, the absolute sovereign over everything and everybody. The primary aspects of sovereignty are twofold. One is power, which is the ability to do something, and authority, which is the power or right to enforce obedience. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Psalm 62:11 says, God has spoken once, twice, I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Psalm 110:3, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens, He does whatever He pleases. God has absolute authority. As Lord, He can impose His will on His creation whenever and wherever He chooses. Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of earth, and none can say unto Him, what are you doing? Heaven is His throne, earth is His footstool. Isaiah 66:1. Isaiah 46:9 through 11, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel will stand and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Friends, do you recognize Jesus as Adonai, Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Do you submit to His sovereign rule, His kingship, His lordship? The first point is, what child is this? The first point is, what is the historical and biblical definition of Lord? The second point is, what is the biblical revelation of Jesus as Lord? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Lord is the second most frequently cited title for Jesus in all of Scripture, 747 times. Lord in context here is a divine title. B.F. Westcott says, now in one title and another, we catch glimpses of Jesus' ineffable glory. R.C. Sproul says this, the titles of Jesus tell us who He is. Contained in them, however, is a thesaurus of insights into what He did. His person and work meet in the drama of life. In Hebrews chapter 1, the inspired writer there, the author under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, took Old Testament passages of Scripture from the Messianic Psalm to prove the superiority of the Son of God to angels. He ascribes to the Son the supreme name of God in chapter 1, verse 8 there of Hebrews, and Lord in chapter 1, verse 10. During His earthly sojourn, as their eyes were spiritually opened as to who Jesus was, over time, His disciples made a transition from calling Jesus just teacher to also calling Him Lord. John 13:13, you say teacher and Lord, you call me teacher and Lord. Jesus says, you do well, for so I am. Remember in Luke 5, Jesus called the Peter and Andrew and James and John to be His followers there when they had the multitude of fish that they caught after they'd been out all night and caught nothing. Remember Peter's response? He bowed down before Jesus, on his knees before Jesus, and said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. In Isaiah 9:6, the titles listed for Jesus, there's one of them there, Mighty God, Gibor in Hebrew. It means powerful, chief, champion. He excels. To say the manger child is Lord is to say that He is God. He is Adonai, the supreme, absolutely sovereign Lord. He's Yahweh, I am who I am, in Exodus 3:14. Jesus affirmed that seven times in the Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am. I am the bread of life, John 6, 35, 38. I am the light of the world, 8, 12. I am the door of salvation, chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. I'm the good shepherd, chapter 10, 11 through 14. I'm the resurrection and the life, 11, 25. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, 14, 6. I am the true vine, 15, 1. And then, interestingly enough, in John 8, 58, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And in verse 59, it says, the Jews took up stones to stone Jesus. Stoning was the punishment for blasphemy, because they knew that Jesus said he was God. He's equal with God, the Father, of the same substance, essence, equal in power and in glory. John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. At his Pentecostal sermon in Acts 2, 14 through 41, Peter declared Jesus as Lord. Acts 2, 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you've crucified is both Lord and Christ. At the cross, the centurion declared Jesus the Son of God, Matthew 27, 54. B.B. Warfield said Jesus as the Son of God is a metaphysical designation asserting equality with God. In Jesus' exaltation, which means his rising from humiliation to greatness, consists of four things: his resurrection, his ascension, his session, and his second coming. After Jesus' resurrection, unbelieving Thomas turned to believing Thomas and declared, ho kurios, ho theos, that is, my Lord and my God. His confession is the climax of the gospel according to John, and expressed the ultimate meaning of Jesus' resurrection as the revelation of who Jesus is. At Jesus' ascension, or his enthronement, the supreme title given him is Adonai, Lord of Lords, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. At Jesus' session, where he's seated at the right hand of God, Hebrews 12, 2, all authority, powers, all angelic orders are made subject to Jesus, 1 Peter 3, 22. Colossians 1, 16 through 18, by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him, through him, and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Jesus, might have the preeminence. At Jesus' second coming, the climax of his exaltation, the supreme title given him is Adonai. Revelation 19, 16. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. On his robe and on his thigh, the name written is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 19, 12, it says Jesus has on his head many diadems, many crowns. In Daniel 4, 13 and Revelation 11, 15, it says all peoples, nations, languages should serve Jesus. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one that shall not be destroyed. Friends, is Jesus Adonai to you? If so, is it evident in your life? The title is, what Christ, or what child is this? And the first point is, what is the historical and biblical definition of Lord? The second point is, what is the biblical revelation of Jesus as Lord? And the third point is, what is a biblical response to Jesus as Lord? For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this shall be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. There are six practical implications that are incumbent upon us or required of us in light of Jesus as Lord. The first is intellectual. I have these listed in the bulletin there for you. The first is intellectual, our mind. That's the inner fortress that controls our actions. We submit to Christ's authority. Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The second is ethical. Discipleship means obedience. 1 John 2, 3, now by this we know that we are the sons of God if we keep his commandments. We know Jesus as Lord if we keep, we obey his commandments. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James 4:17, therefore to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. The Bible contains absolute moral commands that we are required to obey. These are not suggestions from Jesus. These are commands, formal orders from one God who has authority or control over all things. Third, vocational. Every Christian is called to follow Jesus' example to service and to ministry, whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dear children. 1 John 2:6, but as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of behavior. Walk even as Jesus walked. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Number four is ecclesiastical. Jesus is Lord of the church. Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus might have preeminence. It is his church. Matthew 16:18, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by Spirit and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Number five is political. Christians are to be salt and light before the world. Matthew 5:13 through 16. John's definition of the world is an ethical term that includes everything and everybody apart from and in opposition to God. Luther says the three main obstacles or enemies to Christian growth are the flesh, the world, and the devil. Romans 12:2, Paul says to the Roman believers, do not be conformed to the world. You and I as Christians were in the world, but we're not of the world. John 17:6, Jesus said to his Father, I have manifested your name to those who have given me out of the world. And then in verse 18, he says, as you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. Number six, and lastly, is global, our missionary outreach. You've heard over this pulpit many times, Spurgeon has said, as Christians, we're either missionaries or we're imposters. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:19 and 20, is incumbent upon every one of us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatsoever things Jesus has commanded us. So I, Adonai, Jesus says, send you by grace, made strong to triumph over hosts of hell or darkness, death and sin, my name to bear, and in that name to conquer. So send I you my victory to win. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5:5. Jesus is equal to God. He is God. He is Adonai. Friends, follow him and obey him. What child is this? We've looked at 3 points this morning. What is the historical and biblical definition of Lord? Second, what is the biblical revelation of Jesus as Lord? And third, what is a biblical response to Jesus as Lord? John MacArthur said this, and listen closely. You cannot have Jesus as Savior unless you have Jesus as Lord. The theological issue in the 1990s and continuing into the 21st century is the Lordship Salvation controversy of Dallas Theological Seminary. John MacArthur wrote a book to rebuttal the teachings of Dallas called The Gospel According to Jesus. What Dallas Theological Seminary was saying is that you can come to Jesus as Savior and only later come to Jesus as Lord. That is false. That is anti-scripture. Colossians 2:6 says, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. When you come to saving faith in Jesus, you do not decide whether to make him Lord later He is Lord. He's Lord and Savior, and you cannot have him as Savior unless you first have him as Lord. Peter said the same thing in his Pentecostal sermon. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus, whom you crucified, is both Lord and Christ. Did you know that of 20 major translations of the New Testament, there's only one that translates the word doulos as slave, bond slave. Most translated as servant or bondservant. In Romans 1:1, Paul says that he was a doulos of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. All the translations say bondservant. It should say bond slave. Paul was a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Doulos in the Greek is distinctive for slave. There are six other Greek terms for servant, but not slave. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We're bought with a price. We are not our own. We are doulos, bond slaves of Jesus. So we ask the question, why do we translate then doulos as servant, not slave? Friends, a servant gives service to another, and we want that option. We want to come to Jesus as Savior. We want all the benefits, spiritual benefits, and we want that option to decide whether he's Lord or not, whether he'll rule in our lives or not. The truth is, we love our sin and like self being on the throne. Whereas a slave belongs to someone. A Christian belongs exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ, to Adonai. His love, will, and desire is to please his sovereign master. In Psalm 46 through 8, John Calvin said it's the plan of salvation. My ears you've opened. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God, your laws within my heart. A Christian knows it's only in slavery to Jesus that there's true freedom and life abundant. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus said, if you are my bondslave, you'll have life, and you'll have it abundantly. What child is this? The child in the manger is Adonai. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. The question for each of us today is, are we a child of Adonai, the Lord Jesus? To be his child, we must be born again. Born again, that's an act of God that only he can do, in which a principle of new life is implanted in you, your disposition of your soul is made holy, and you live to make Jesus known. You believe that he is your Lord and Savior. John 3:3-5, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Unless you are in Christ, united to him, Holy Spirit indwelt with a new will, a new love, and new desires. Those desires that live to please Jesus and glorify him as Adonai, Lord of lords and King of kings. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, that began China Inland Mission in 1865, he died in 1905, said this, how few of the Lord's people have practically recognized the truth that Christ is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. If we can judge God's word rather than being judged by God's word, if we can give to God as much or as little as we please, then we are Lords, and he is the indebted one to be grateful for our dole and obliged by our compliance with his wishes. If, on the other hand, he is Lord, let us treat him as such. Friends, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word of truth. Thank you for your revelation as to who Jesus is and what he's done. Both his name, his names, titles, and his works are inseparable. He is indeed King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray, dearly Father, that each one of us that name the name of Jesus And when Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say," that will not be said of us. That we implicitly delight in obeying you. We are your bond slaves, and you are our master. And we know that only in you, when we glorify you and live for you, are we truly free and experience an abundant life and will truly experience the joy of the Christmas season. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, your Spirit would move, convict hearts, dear Heavenly Father, of sin. Turn people to Jesus as Savior and Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.